ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10th, Chapter 86. Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra, Text 36.
Dinani katichid bhuman. Dinani katichid bhuman. गृहान्नो निवसद्विचये गृहान्नो निवसद्विचये समेतः पादरजसा समेता पादरजसा पुनीहिदं निमेकुलम् पुनीहिदं निमेकुलम् दिनानि कतिचिद्भूमन् गृहान्नो निवसद्विचये समेतः पादरजसा पुनीहिदं निमेकुलम् दिनानि कतिचिद्भूमन् गृहान्नो निवसद्विचये समेता पादरजसा पुनीहिदं निमेकुलम्
word by word meaning. Dinani, days. Katichit, a few. Bhuman, O omnipresent one. Gruhan, in the home. Naha, our. Nivasa, please dwell. Dvijay, by the Brahmanas. Sameta, join. Pada, of your feet. Rajasa, with the dust. Punihi, please sanctify. Idam, this. Nime, O king of King Nime. Kulam, the dynasty. Translation. Please stay a few days in our house along with these Brahmanas, O all-pervading one, and with the dust of your feet sanctify this dynasty of Nemi. There is no purport, so we'll read the next verses. Text 37. Translation. Shukadev Goswami continued, thus invited by the king, the supreme lord, sustainer of the world, consented to stay for some time to bestow good fortune on the men and women of Mithila. Text 38. Translation. Shrutadev received Lord Achyuta into his home with as much enthusiasm as that shown by King Bahulashva. After bowing down to the Lord and the sages, Shrutadeva began to dance with great joy, waving his shawl. Text 39, translation purport. After bringing mats of grass and darbha straw and seating his guest upon them, he greeted them with words of welcome. Then he and his wife washed their feet with great pleasure. Purport. To provide even this simple welcome, Shrutadev had to go next door to his neighbors and borrow extra mats. This insight is provided by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Rupesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vinda Ganeshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Besha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitana Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
श्री अद्वैता कथाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो वेलकम टू all new guests here and all the devotees who have appeared as guests. So this topic is very wonderful. Lord Krishna visiting King Bahulashva and Shrutadev Brahman simultaneously, as their guests, and this is very wonderful story. Here we can see that there is so much of contrast between Krishna's two devotees, but at the same time Krishna is reciprocating with them equally. So King Bahulashva, who is very rich, he has so much of opulence, and Shrutadev, who was very simple Brahmana, very poor Brahmana, and he was also rich in a different way because he was carrying Supreme Lord in his heart. He had that realization of super soul. And he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he accepted everything as a mercy of the Lord. It is not that he was complaining, I am devotee of Lord Krishna and why Krishna has put me in this poverty-stricken condition. One may wonder that he is such a great devotee and he has been worshipping the Supreme Lord, but his still economic condition was not developed for so many years. Sometimes we may think that by worshipping Krishna our economic condition should improve, then I will continue to worship, maybe with little more extra opulence, and that becomes our conditioning. And without that we cannot serve. But here Shrutadev is exemplifying that how even somebody may be very poverty stricken, still one can worship the Supreme Lord. It is only a matter of desire, how one has intense desire to serve the Lord. And he accepted it as that is a mercy of the Lord. And we can see that for so many years he was just getting enough for his daily expenditure. He was not storing, and he was very happy in that condition, remembering the Lord, worshipping. So there is so much of contrast we can see with this devotee and King Bahulashva, who was also a great devotee, and he, when he heard that Supreme Lord is coming to his place, he had so much of opulence, he worshipped the Supreme Lord with all that opulence, engage all the devotees, all these ministers and people in the city to welcome the Lord. And Lord was also pleased. He told that, please stay at my place for some time. And Lord happily accepted that. And in this pastime especially, we can see that Krishna does something very different, because he was invited simultaneously at two houses. One is a very opulent king and another is a very simple poverty-stricken brahmana. And he expands himself along with all the sages and goes to both of their homes. And both of them, they don't know that Supreme Lord has gone to other devotees' place. Because when they invited, they were both standing in front of the Lord. One is a king and another is a Brahmin. Both simultaneously requesting the Lord that please come to our home. So how Krishna can refuse such thing? Krishna has to fulfill the desires of his pure devotees. In today's world, if such things happen, then there may be some kind of jealousy. Or I invited and Lord came to my, or the Guru Maharaj, or even Brahmachari came to my home. That becomes a kind of pride, that this Brahmachari came to my home. And sometimes we may share that everywhere. So here the Supreme Lord, he knows what is best for them. And he goes there to enlighten them, to accept their service. And Krishna had traveled from Dwarka with so many of his sages. And these sages were also not ordinary sages. They were great learned brahmanas, elevated souls. Their consciousness was so much elevated. So Lord is traveling with them to meet these two great devotees. And we can see that this, we can learn so many things from this story. First of all, there is no impediment in serving the Lord. That one should not think that I need to have something to worship the Lord. It's not necessary. Even with simple paraphernalia or whatever one may have, one can continue to worship the Lord. Because Supreme Lord is Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He accepts the mood in which one serves the Lord. The devotion, the consciousness, the intent. And Krishna reciprocates. He doesn't see that somebody is poor or somebody is rich. What is real richness? Real richness is richness of the heart. So somebody could be poor rich, or somebody could be rich poor. Both types of people are existing. We meet so many people, and sometimes simple people are so happy when they see devotees. And sometimes so many materially rich people, when they feel, see the devotees as coming to their homes, sometimes there is so much of anxiety. So who is rich and who is poor depends on the level of consciousness. Somebody is elevated in his consciousness, he is really a rich person. because he doesn't see in the material level whether I have or I don't have. It's my desire to serve the Lord. And Lord can understand that. And therefore we can see that among so many people, Lord chose to go to the homes of these two wonderful devotees. And what happened to Shrutadev when the Supreme Lord came? He did not have anything to welcome the Lord. In fact, here in this purport it is explained that he borrowed those straw mats, darbha grass, from his neighbors. So that means he did not have enough that to offer to his guest. But still, doesn't matter. Lord has come, all these sages have come, somehow they have to worship, welcome them. So even he accepts that austerity. No problem, I will go to my neighbors, get whatever is necessary. And not only that, he is dancing in ecstasy. I mean, does somebody like this? When some guests come to our home, or sadhus or Guru Maharaj, does somebody dance in the home? Oh, Guru Maharaj has come, or Sannyasi has come, or Brahmacharis have come. We hardly have any experience like that. Of course, internally, inside heart, one can dance unlimitedly. Anyone who dances, there is no problem. So here, Shrutadev was so ecstatic that he could not control his ecstasy. He was waving his shawl, dancing in ecstasy. The Supreme Lord has come to his home. That is the greatest fortune. He was oblivious of his material conditions. What materially he is situated, he was not aware of that. He was just so focused. The Supreme Lord has come. All these sages have come. How to welcome them? How to make them happy? How to see that they are comfortable at my place? It's the most important aspect we can see, because Srila Prabhupada in his purports he writes at various places some quotations on receiving guest after a lot of studies and research I have got some nice ones, and various places during in purports of Bhagavatam, in his conversations, sometimes in letters. So at one place, Srila Prabhupada explains that to receive guest is not difficult. One can offer little water, sitting place, and sweet words. Not difficult. Therefore, to welcome a guest, friend or foe, whoever is maybe, there is no difficulty. It is only a question of good manners. Somebody has that attitude, he is happy to receive the guest. But then there is no impediment. One can receive them very nicely. So, therefore, to welcome guests is not difficult. And other places also he writes that this is especially the duty of grihasthas to welcome guests in their homes, regularly invite sadhus, sannyasis. And to hear from them, take their blessings, blessings in the form of Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and to purify one's consciousness. In that way they can make tremendous advancement. And we can see in the life of Srila Prabhupada also, his father, Gaur Mohande, Srila Prabhupada recalls that he would see almost every day some sadhus coming to his place. His father would invite them, and his father would serve them, feed them, and he would ask one blessing. Please bless my son that he becomes the great devotee of Srimati Radharani. So that is a great blessing. And when somebody serves the sadhus, sages, when they are pleased, they can give wonderful blessings, and that can really work. So therefore, we can see how that kind of sanskara Srila Prabhupada had from the very beginning of his life. And he did not forget that. He would always see that, yes, my father was inviting, welcoming and receiving so many sadhu. And sometimes there would be different types of sadhus he had seen. Somebody maybe smoking or drinking tea and everything. But still, for Srila Prabhupada's father it did not matter. He respected that kind of renounce order. He did not see the faults in them. And later on we can see that how when Srila Prabhupada was invited by his friend to meet His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, that time he was thinking that he may be the similar type of sadhu. But there was a difference. His friend Narendra Malik insisted that you must come. You must come and meet this sadhu. And we can see that that first historical meeting at Ultardanga Junction has transformed so much. And we are sitting here all because of that one interaction. Lavamatra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhiva. So therefore, receiving the guest or serving the sadhus is not just material ordinary activity. One should not think that it is a matter of formality, that I must welcome somebody, invite. It should not become a ritual. There has to be lot of deep thinking process, meditation, that how to elevate my consciousness. And here these two great devotees, King Bhavlashva and Shrutadev, both are great devotees. They are free from false ego. And they are thinking that they have fallen in this deep dark well. And only hope is to the mercy of saintly devotees, sages, the Supreme Lord. They are not proud of their devotion. That just see, I am even in this condition I am able to serve the Lord. I am so poverty stricken, but still I am serving the Supreme Lord. That kind of pride is not there. They are so grateful to the Lord. Whatever condition one has put, Lord has put, they are accepting it happily. and continue to worship the Lord. They were not even thinking that one day Supreme Lord will visit our place. So Krishna knows everything, past, present, future. He knows where are his devotees, what they are thinking, how they are serving, and when they will go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna knows everything. And therefore, when somebody sincerely serves the Supreme Lord without any expectation, the Lord will come to reclaim them. Or sometimes he may send his bona fide representatives to relieve us from that miserable condition. One should have complete faith. So therefore, this story is very, very important. And this kind of service, receiving the guest, is so relevant. In fact, it had been relevant at all times. It is not that there is some, these are the stories of bygone ages, so many years these things have happened and just by listening we'll get purified. But in today's world also, we can see that this principle of receiving the guest is absurd. Or in fact, without this, so many businesses will collapse. Because the people, those who are on the top or making the business, they know that taking care of customers is so important. Customer is like my God. Customer is the boss in today's term. And in how one receives a customer, that decides his business. In the material world, in the material sense, spiritually it's a different. But how this principle has been going on. And if customers are not treated properly, then what happens? They are not happy with the product, or they are not treated properly, then they are going to post their reviews, Google reviews, or somewhere they are going to post it, product reviews, and their business is at stake. So therefore they have to maintain that customer relationship. And maintaining customer relationship means pleasing the customers. Customer is happy, then he will come and purchase their products. Customer is not happy, then their business will get disturbed. So therefore, this has been going on in today's world also. It's very relevant. And there is some kind of study, it was made. And it is explained that why customers stop buying a particular product, or why they leave. And there are various kind of statistics, and some percentage, maybe 1%, they die, so they don't buy the products. 2-3% they like other products, so they go to other places because of competitive reasons. And 68% of customers leave because of an attitude or feeling of indifference shown by one of the employers. Somebody mistreats, the product may be good, but somebody has just not dealt with the customer properly. By his tone, by his bodily language, by his words, then the customers stop buying that product, they just leave. 68%. So, to maintain a customer is not easy. It is so important that how customer satisfaction is ultimately the highest in today's world also. And how this is relevant in our ISKCON society. Because we also deal with so many new people, not only new people but even with devotees we deal, and how we deal with each other. If we don't deal with them properly, if we hurt devotees, then they are going to get disturbed and sometimes they may leave the movement. So therefore it is so important that we understand these subtleties, that how we impact each other by our words, by our body language, by our tone in which we speak, and how to respect each other, how to interact with each other is so important. Because sometimes we may think that it is all right, it doesn't matter. But how person get affected, we don't know. So therefore, one has to deeply meditate on these various principles of receiving the guest and sensitivity in which we deal with each other. And in that way we can make tremendous progress. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada, he has given us this society, and he wanted people to come to temples. He established temples, installed deities. Purpose of temples is to attract people. And when people come to temple, worship the Lord, see the wonderful forms of the Lord, then there is an opportunity to interact with them. And in that way one can give the message of Krishna consciousness. And that way preaching can expand. And there is another connection, that sometimes one may think that this service and deity service is different, but there is a connection in fact. Worshipping deities, deity worship and receiving the guest are interconnected. In fact it is a duty of pujari to welcome the guest. If he is worshipping the deities, and some important, definitely, sannyasi or very highly elevated guest comes, if nobody is there to receive that person, that exalted soul, then one may leave the worship of the Lord and go and receive that guest. It is that important. They should not remain unattended. They should be taken care properly. So, therefore Srila Prabhupada has given us this moment in which there is ample opportunity to welcome the guests, to talk with them. And in Srila Prabhupada's purport also many places it has come that how in fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, there are quotations or there are descriptions of different hellish planets. Guests are not treated properly. And what kind of punishments one may get? There is a particular kind of hell known as Paryavartan. Some guest comes to one's home and one is not comfortable. One is not in the mood to receive the guest because Atithi means one who comes unnoticed or without giving any notice. Sometimes we may feel that, oh, why this person has come now? I'm just going out somewhere. Why he has suddenly come? Unwanted guest, sometimes we may categorize. So we are not sometimes in a mood to receive guests. And somebody may look at them with angry eyes. There is some kind of subtle anger and it manifests in the eyes. Then what is the reaction? It is explained that he is sent to a particular kind of hell, Paryavartan, in which there are some birds, vultures, crows, cockneys, and different types of birds are there. They angrily look at this person and they come sweeping down and pluck out his eyes. And again, the same thing repeats. I don't know how it repeats, but it goes on and on. That kind of reaction one may get. It's not to scare anyone, but this is kind of description is given. What can I do? There is a description. And there is another kind of hell. So, anyway, one is enough, I think. So therefore one has to be very careful. One should not offend a guest. Because we don't know what kind of reaction we may get. Instead of getting benefited, one may get suffering. So therefore even it is explained that even the kings are not exempt if they are not following this principle. King Romapath, it is explained that why there was drought in his kingdom. It is explained that when he was a great charitable person, he was doing a lot of charities and he used to give so much charity to the sages and sadhus who come to his kingdom. And once what happened? He was giving some kind of jewels or pearls. And one sadhu came, sage came, and he gave some. He just kept something to give to him. And later on thought that no, let us not give. And he took it back, that one jewel. He thought that what this poor sadhu is going to do that with this jewel. So he took it back. And instantly, he got incurred in law of karma. Some kind of reaction, he got entangled. And why this thing happened? Why this is so subtle? He gave and he took it back. It was his only, but he took it back. But when he gave, it was his property. It was the property of that sadhu. So it belonged to that sadhu. And he took it back. So he took actually the property of that sadhu. So he incurred that kind of sin. And immediately he got affected. And there was drought in his kingdom for so many years, I think 12 years or something. There was no rains. Animals were coming to the kingdom outside of the jungles, in search of water. So that kind of reaction he got because of one small incident. This is how it is so subtle. How we interact with each other. Law of karma is so subtle. Even the kings are not exempt from this. So therefore, it is very, very important that how to receive the guests, to make them happy. And here Lord Krishna, he could understand that these both devotees are having proper attitude, proper consciousness. They want to serve me, they want to welcome me. So therefore I am ready to go. I am ready to travel with so much, taking so much trouble. Because they don't have any inferior motive in their hearts. And later on we can see that when Lord was invited by Duryodhan, Lord did not go to his house because Duryodhan, he had some kind of inferior motive. He was very diplomatic in his behavior. He knew that I am going to please the Lord by my reception. I will welcome him so nicely, so royal reception I can give. And when he will be pleased, he will give me whatever I want. And Krishna knew that Duryodhan has that diplomatic motive. So therefore he did not go to his home. He went to the home of Vidura. Where Vidurani was, what she was doing? She was also in another ecstasy. She was peeling the bananas, throwing the banana pulp inside dustbin and giving the banana peels to the Lord. And still, Lord accepted that because it was given with so much of love. So therefore, it is a matter of consciousness. It is a matter of attitude in which we receive the Lord. And it is not that one has to be very poor to receive the Lord. Even if one has whatever capacity, if one welcomes the Lord or worships the Lord, then Lord will be pleased. Whatever opulence one has, one should feel that it is ultimately Lord's property. It is not mine. Lord has given me, so I am happy to serve in that condition. And Lord can take away any moment, at any moment. But still I will continue to serve the Lord. So therefore, this kind of consciousness is very important. In fact, the deity worship is in that mood. When the Lord is worshipped, one meditates that Lord is a guest, esteemed guest. And he invites to give a proper asana. Idam asanam, idam padyam. Washes the feet of the Lord. Idam argyam. And then that kind of mood is there. So Lord is even worshipped as a guest while deity worship. And while chanting also. Lord comes. When we are chanting, Lord comes. But are we really attentive to welcome the Lord? Because the name of the Lord and Lord is not different. So when we are chanting, Lord is there already, dancing on our tongue. But are we very attentive to receive Him? So therefore, when we really absorb that mood, then one will feel that yes, it is so relevant, it is so important. All our daily activities, devotional activities, we can feel the presence of the Lord. And in that way, one can make tremendous advancement. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की हरे कृष्ण।